Time to check in with our media critic extraordinaire, Dick Weiss. Dick, welcome to Big 550 KTRS.
Good to be here.
You, last week, were singing your praises over... We were looking at the Larry King, Jerry Seinfeld clip before we get on the air. If you haven't seen it, Larry King asks Jerry Seinfeld about the show Seinfeld and says it was canceled, right? And Seinfeld goes off on a rant saying, what do you mean? What do you mean it was canceled? I was the number one show. We went out on top. 75 million viewers. Are you paying attention? You know what? Seinfeld's right on. That, you know, you only have Jerry Seinfeld for X amount of time. You don't say to him, and it was your decision, right?
Yeah, you showed me that clip, and it was rather shocking. I had to process that. Larry King, you know, I think he has a number of people preparing him for these interviews, and he should know whether Jerry was canceled or Jerry walked away on his own.
Right.
Now, the way Jerry acted probably did not reflect well, because he sounds extremely arrogant, unless it's a put-on, which you never know with Jerry Seinfeld.
Well, no.
He says, get this guy a resume.
Make some sense.
I know you don't like to talk to me ahead of time.
Right.
So it can be fresh and spontaneous.
There's a certain amount of spontaneity that you have to have.
Yes.
However, that's the actor that has to come through, is you have to have some prep, and even though you might know the answer to a question, or you want to start a dialogue on a subject, you ask a question that either he knows coming, or that you have researched, or you've gone back to the books to look at. But going in, sitting there, and not doing any prep means that Larry King's time might be gone.
Well, yeah, you could say that, but then here he's brought out a side of Jerry Seinfeld, perhaps, that's revealing, and here he has us talking about it. So maybe there's some genius to it. Right. I don't know.
There you go. Larry King on the radio back years ago, there was nothing better.
Yeah,
I love Larry King.
I would love to listen to him on the radio. I don't enjoy him as much on television.
All right. Well, that's because he has 17 guests, and he says, welcome back and reintroduce the panel. Yeah. You know, I don't get it. All right, anyway. Plus, anyway. All right, Dick Weiss, our guest.
They continue to pay my pension, and I want to see them do well.
Yes, you do.
And, however, I looked at Sunday's paper, and you know, I've always been in charge of flexible pricing for the Post-Dispatch. They put out a good paper, they should charge you $3. They put out a bad paper,
a quarter.
Not so much.
A quarter.
And Sunday's paper, to me, was worth about 50 cents. First of all, they replaced the TV book. They took out the TV book they had, and they put in a new TV book, which, by the way, you cannot get now on the newsstands. They are not printing that much paper for you folks who are paying the price at the newsstands.
So
you can't get it. You have to get a home subscription to get the TV book, and I wouldn't even call it a book. They do say that the print is larger in this book, but I didn't grow up on a farm, and I use a barnyard expression. That is putting lipstick on a pig. This thing is ugly, and it is just not all that useful. Used to be they had a bunch of movie listings in the back of the book. You
right.
kind of plan, you know, what to TiVo and what not. That's all gone. They give you a little thing on the side that says what the movies are during the course of the day, and so on. But, boy, I just predicted a lot of readers are going to be very upset with that. That alone. One thing.
Why did they change?
Well, I think they got together and they had a strategy session and said, what can we do about declining circulation? And they said, let's give them less and ask them to pay more. That seems to be the strategy here. So they're taking something away. It costs a lot of money, a lot of newsprint, to print a TV book. And that's a commodity, newsprint. And
right.
It gets increasingly expensive. Sometimes it goes down, but often more frequently it seems to go up. So they wanted to save money. And not only are they saving money by getting rid of staff, but now they're saving money by giving you fewer things.
I would guess that the TV guide in the Sunday newspaper is probably the most popular item in that newspaper.
Well, you would think. But do you use it?
No. Now, come to think of it, I haven't thought about it since I've gone digital, and the TV channel guide is on TV.
Well, increasingly, that's what has happened. People use the thing on the television. You can go online. You got your laptop there, your computer. You can go online to the TVguide.com or whatever it is, and You can sort and sift the stations the way you want to. You can look at your TiVo, and that kind of gives you an idea. So increasingly, people are using it less, and surveys have shown that. And newspapers across the country are doing the same thing that the Post-Dispatch has done. What I kind of object to is that they really introduced this change with really not explaining it very well, just telling you what was so great about this change. But what they ought to do is say, look, folks, people are using this less, which they did say, but our strategy is that we are increasingly moving our newspaper to do more things online, and there's going to be a shift here, and you're going to lose some things. But what we hope to do is create an environment, a media environment for you that is increasingly useful. They don't explain that. They don't have a reader's advocate anymore who in the past would do that.
Right.
And the editor, you know, Bill Wu used to write a column in which he might have explained that, and the editor doesn't write a column, so we just had this little note.
Why didn't they charge people more for it, charge them an extra 50 cents for it?
I guess they thought that wouldn't work, because they're already charging you 25 cents more for the daily paper already, and so maybe they thought that was just
on
too,
the news,
too much to swallow.
Right, on the newsstand. It would be interesting to see how much how angry people get, because there's some people who love their TV guide.
Yeah, I remember the last time they made changes, they got a lot of angry phone calls. So we'll see what happens. But there are other things going on with the paper as well. If you look at the front page, the front page is, you know, really valuable real estate. The top, 15% of the page is promoting something that's online, not in the paper. The main featured story is really a promotion for a political guide that goes to the Newswatch column. So it's really just another advertisement for something else that's in the paper. So they gave up that real estate. When you go to that, the political analysis of Newswatch, it's about a total of about 1,700 words on the conventional wisdom about politics. Not terrible stuff, but really not very valuable. You go to the arts and entertainment section, they've used up two-thirds of the page to promote the holiday movies, just a little a graphic, not very much information. It says, go inside to read about the holiday movies on page, I think it was 4F. You go inside, they're just little blurbs. There's no real insider analysis about the movies, just what they're about and when they're coming out, and that's all there is. Increasingly, if you go by this particular paper, there's no there. One other aside was the editorials on the Sunday section. There are two. One is a staff editorial, and one is from a college newspaper, Student Life, Washington University. Your biggest circulation comes on Sunday. You ought to be able to put two locally produced columns in the editorial.
Now, it wasn't a student at WashU. It was taken. That was published from their newspaper.
It was taken from their newspaper. I hope Student Life collected some fees
right.
for that, but probably not.
So you're saying this weekend, while some good has come from the Post since the buyout, you're saying Sunday was...
Yeah, they do. I mean, the staff, the people who are writing the stories are doing excellent work. There's just not enough of them,
right.
obviously, to put some great content in the paper. The other thing that came out... just this morning are the circulation figures, and which show that the Post-Dispatch daily circulation is down 4%. They lost another 10,000 readers daily. They went up just a tick on Sunday circulation, about 0.5%.
That's because people are looking for the TV guide.
Yes, yes, and yeah, right. Well, these figures are interesting because they raised the price of the daily paper essentially the day after. These current figures. So this 4% downturn doesn't reflect that the paper now costs 75 cents instead of 50 cents. Advertisers and readers will have to wait until next March to find out what the impact, the circulation impact is of the 25 cent increase.
And just to clarify, it's 75 cents on the newsstand. 50 cents still.
Yeah,
home
delivery, you get deals and bargains and
right,
so on.
Right, right, right. So. All right. How did newspapers overall look on those ratings?
If there's any good news, the Post-Dispatch is keeping up with the New York Times, whose daily circulation also fell 4.5%. Very bad news across the board in terms of newspaper circulation. Most papers fell. The Dallas Morning News was down nearly 8%. The Star Tribune in Minneapolis down 6.5%. San Diego Union Tribune down 8.5%. Interesting, USA Today up 1%. So they're holding their own. But not good. And what the ABC, the people who audit the circulation for newspapers, has done now is that they're putting out, I have to do some crunching the numbers and so on, and I'll report to you next week. They're looking at total audience now for newspapers, which would include online. Newspapers have been sort of demanding this because they're losing some advertising, and they think that their online figures ought to be included.
So I agree.
They look better to advertisers.
I agree. You know, the 4% of the people aren't not looking at the newspaper. They're just getting it somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. Quickly, Brian Williams and Tim Russert made the news this past week. Tim Russert, did he do a nice job moderating the presidential debate?
I thought they did an excellent job. Essentially, you know, what the news that came out of it is that they cornered Hillary Clinton,
right,
and they insisted through their questioning and then backed up by the candidates that she come down on certain issues on Social Security, on Iran, and the immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And they cornered her, and she, within a couple of minutes of debate time, flip-flopped and wouldn't take positions, very clear positions on the issues. And they brought her out. Now, she went on to kind of complain, at least through surrogates, that they were picking on her. But I thought it was a great moment for the media on that one.
Do you think Tim Russert should have asked Dennis Kucinich about his UFO experiences?
You know, it's interesting. I on balance, I would have said no, but
what else are you gonna
brought ask? Out an interest? Yeah, brought an interesting moment. The other thing, I didn't keep a clock on this, but it did seem like they were paying attention more, or giving more time to the candidates who were leading in the polls.
Right.
And Dennis only got on every so often, which I think was probably at this point is probably appropriate.
Right.
But yeah, it led to a lot of talk and discussion. So I can forgive him for that, given that he did such a good job with Hillary.
What is the best story we've never read?
Well, you think that if you're in the NFL and you go on to an all-pro career and you make a lot of money, that you're gonna you'll do well the rest of your life. Well, think again. If you're all-pro, Tyrone Hughes of the New Orleans Saints, and apparently a classmate of yours
at
the University of Nebraska.
Yes, I did.
You end up with a career as a hall monitor at a high school, making $19,000 a year in the hopes that maybe they'll let you coach. But something happened to Tyrone. Did not go well. A kid stole his cell phone.
He was the janitor of this high school.
Yeah, well, hall monitor.
Hall monitor.
Well, yeah. Okay. And kid steals his cell phone. You've put nude pictures in your cell phone. The kid sees them, and then you're trying to get that cell phone back desperately, and he is accused of issuing some threats against the child.
Right.
And he gets fired. So he's now lost his $19,000 a year job as a hall monitor, and he's in trouble not only because he's alleged to have threatened the kid, but because he had nude photos on his phone, and the children were exposed to his nude photos.
Well, I don't think they were exposed to it. They were stolen.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there's a sort of a civil liberties issue in this thing.
I believe he was the third or fourth player picked in the draft, I think.
Is that right?
At
yeah.
one point.
Yeah. Apparently quite good. Yeah. And this is what happened. And, you know, he didn't do the steroids or the drugs or destroy his body or anything, but he got he got in trouble. And this guy was making, you know, $2.6 million a year and driving a Jaguar at one point.
Yeah, I believe when I was a senior, he might have been a sophomore or a freshman or a junior, but he was on campus when I was there. All right, and we can read that story.
Yes, in the Dallas Morning News, and you can find the link at weissright.com.
Weissright.com. Thanks, Dick, as always. Weissright.com, WEISSWRITE.com.